Good Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust, Steve Glick. I'm Gary Byron. Steve, good morning to you, my friend. You're phoning it in 2 weeks in a row. How are you feeling there, brother?
Well, I had a little cough. I didn't want to infect you.
Well, I appreciate you looking out for me. I make my living with my voice. You know, every morning I'm on the air. It's bad enough that when I first get on, I don't want to sound like I just woke up. But I'm glad that you're thinking of my health and my benefits of that.
Well, you'll be paid for that.
Will I? I get compensated for that. Hey, by the way, how has business been? What have you been up to over the last?
This is one of the busiest times for us.
Yeah.
There's such a great need for help out there, and we really have answers to the Affordable Health Care Act and the issues around that. We do have solutions, and many people are calling us, and we're giving some great advice and services. So keep it up, everyone. Your local Chamber of Commerce and the Chamber Insurance Trust really can make a difference.
I'm glad to hear that. I know so. I always appreciate you and Roundstone Insurance and really getting involved with the morning show and sponsoring our news and I couldn't be happier and more thrilled for our partnership here between Roundstone Insurance, Sterling Benefits, and of course Chamber Insurance Trust. I really appreciate all the work that you do.
We care, and you know you're part of the community. We need to get the message out. There's too many people sacrificing too much, and they don't have to do that.
I'm really excited about our guest this morning because it really at a time when you couldn't find a more divided time in history unless you were to go back to the days of the Civil War. But certainly of our generation of the modern era, this is a real divisive time. And I don't mean just in our households or in our communities or in our state or nation, even in the world globally. And I really believe that, you know, people are afraid to even make a joke nowadays with this cancel culture and oh, my goodness, I had my feelings. I was offended. It's like, yeah, OK, I've been offended by people from day one. I just don't hang around with those people. I believe in freedom of speech more than I believe in being offended and crying in my milk or in my soup. I don't drink milk. So I do like soup, though. What I'd like to do is, if you don't mind, Steve, is bring in our guest. She is a comedian, her name is Joyce Saltman. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning, and by the way, I'm really not a comedian. I'm really just a plain college professor with a humorous view of the world.
Yeah,
so
you're
I do many humoristic things, but I'm truly not a comedian. Comedians are in a category of their own, and I have nothing but great respect for what they are able to do. I can't do that.
Well, you're a professor down at Southern Connecticut State University, right? You've been on there since 1975.
Yes.
What subject what do you teach down there?
Well, I was a full-time professor of special education, and I also taught graduate courses each semester on the enhancement of learning through humor so that we could help the teachers infuse more humor into their curriculum so the kids would be engaged and having fun in school.
Well, you know what? That's how you do it. When you make it so relatable and you can engage people, your audience is going to be in tune to you for nearly 100% of the time. How many seminars have you given?
Well, I've been doing really since 1983 when I started teaching about laughter, prescription for survival at the Cheshire Library.
No kidding.
They asked me if I would give a lecture on laughter because I was doing stand-up comedy in a local restaurant, and they were running a series on healing, and they had someone on Tai Chi and someone on massage therapy, and they said, well, you know about how good it is to laugh. Would you give a talk? And you will appreciate this because I had just gotten married at the end of May, and this was going to be for September. And I said to my husband when he came home from being school principal, I said, honey, guess what? I'm going to be giving a lecture at the Cheshire Library on the therapeutic benefits of laughter. And he said, oh, honey, that's wonderful. He said, what do you know about that?
Ah.
I said, well, truthfully, I have never read about it, but I know it's true, and I know how to read. And I put together that first talk, and that very first lecture that I gave at the Cheshire Library got covered by the Hartford Currents, the Waterbury Republican,
wow,
and the New Haven Register. And by the next day, apparently, I was the new expert in the therapeutic benefits of laughter.
Well,
so
check you out.
100 a year since 1983, not just about laughter, about other topics that are infused with laughter and that really benefit so tremendously from laughter.
And I know that you are the recipient of many outstanding faculty awards, including the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor.
Yes, which was I did get some outstanding faculty, and I got one at the Academy for Continuing Education. This is another one of these. The stories happen to be humorous just because they're real life. I got the award for Outstanding Faculty Member, and I was the first one to be given this award, and they had a wonderful speaker at the luncheon, and they had all kinds of wonderful things going on for this luncheon honoring me. And when I asked the director of the program the following year, because I was hoping I'd get an opportunity to, you know, congratulate somebody else, I said, tell me, Alan, who's winning the award this year? He said, we can't give it again. I said, what do you mean you can't give it again? He said, Joyce, he said, you would get it every year. I had between 150 and 200 senior students in my group every single Tuesday afternoon because people were so desperate to laugh. It wasn't that I'm so gifted. Truthfully, anybody who'd be willing to lead an hour and 15 minutes of things that, you know, provoke some kind of humor, that somehow or another focus on the good things that are going on instead of the bad things that are going on, anybody would have attracted that number of people.
That's a great point. Why is humor so important at, let's say, difficult times like we're living in right now during COVID?
Oh, man. Have you ever got the right question there? Why is it so important? Because people are dying. And I mean this literally and figuratively. The fact of the matter is, I got one thank you, and I actually copied this because I loved it so much. Someone wrote me a thank you for a Zoom program that I had done in January, February, March, last April 13th. And they wrote, your injection of vitamin H into our lives brought a healthy belly laugh and an infusion of joy.
Oh,
and vitamin H, of course, was humor. And these were people who were not getting out a lot. And they were so thrilled even to just get a Zoom. And I have to tell you, as a speaker, there is nothing less exciting than seeing people laughing with mute on, and you see people smiling and laughing in little boxes, and you don't hear anything. It is so frustrating. I'm so delighted, truthfully, to be back to real life. And by the way, in Connecticut, other than the radio program, of course, my rule in Connecticut and in Florida for when I go back to Florida is that anybody who I can drive to, so that includes anything in the tri-state area, if I can drive there, I refuse to do a Zoom. And happily, many of the groups that I used to be speaking for live have now called me again, and I'm speaking live again, and I love it because I get to meet real people, and the people who've met me before usually hug me, and we are desperate for more hugs. I will tell you the one rule that I always say when I'm talking about the pandemic is the statement that I read that I'd like to pass on says, accept what is, let go of what was, and have faith in what will be. And I really think that is the bottom line for how to make it through what we're dealing with right now. I've got dozens and dozens of articles, one of which I really enjoyed. It was in the April 22nd New York Times, the year before last. A man named Alex Williams wrote an article entitled, It's Okay to Find Humor in Some of This. And he stated, quote, however hollow is one of the main coping mechanisms during periods of sickness, death, and anxiety. So don't feel guilty. He said we should laugh whenever we possibly can because that is the most important thing. And I can tell you from my myriad talks on the therapeutic value of laughter just for your body, all good things happen in your body when you laugh. So whatever you can laugh at, do it. And, you know, look at the Holocaust survivors who talk about how laughter and the cabarets they did and the kidding around they did really helped them survive. And there are people, you know, I read one article that was devastating to me. a woman is 87 years old. This was in, published in the Times, and her name is Toby Levy, and she was a Holocaust survivor who poignantly captured what many other survivors have felt this pandemic year. She wrote, "A full year is gone. I lost my childhood. I never had my teenage years. And now in my old age, this is shortening my life by a year. I don't have that many years left." And I think we all need to look at it. We don't know. We don't know. None of us came with a contract. We don't know how long we're going to live. Have fun today. Get together with the people. I don't care if you have to wear a mask. I don't care if you have to stand 20 feet apart from each other and use a megaphone. Get together with the people that you love. That is the most important way to stay alive and to stay lively. That is what we need to do. I laugh when I looked at there was a public notice from the Corporation of the City of Kelowna, in, which is apparently in the British Columbia, and it said, "Notice is hereby given that in order to prevent the spread of Spanish influenza, all schools, public and private, churches, theaters, moving picture halls, pool rooms, and other places of amusement and lodge meetings are to be closed until further notice. All public gatherings consisting of 10 or more are prohibited." And this was signed by the mayor. And we're talking over 100 years ago. That was in 1918. This is nothing new under the sun. People have had to deal with crap before, and unfortunately we've had to deal with it now. And my advice to everybody is do the things that make you happy. You could be gone tomorrow, or you could be gone in 50 years from now. We have no guarantees. Have fun every day.
Yeah, I let me tell you, Joyce, I echo those sentiments. Sadly, it's government that's really impeding on that. It's prohibiting us from either congregating or socializing in close proximity. Or like you said, you can't even see someone smile. Someone who does what you do, though, you and I, what I got from you from that is when mute was enacted or enabled, I should say, on people's computer screens, is that as a performer, what drives you, what motivates you, is what you feed off of, is the instant gratification, the instant response that you get from a live audience. And when the laughter is muted, it's hard to play off of that, you know, as a performer on a stage, particularly a solo performer on a stage. I remember talking to several actors, you know, and you know, it's not that they don't like to make motion pictures or television shows, but there's something about being on the stage when you have a live audience, because it's adrenaline driven. You get an instant response, whether a joke went flat, Or the joke where people were laughing out, rip roaring loud, you know. And then once they do, you know, you've got them in your hands, and it should be, as long as you're consistent, it should be a great night. But when the audience is muted, you don't have that instant gratification.
Right.
Yeah.
Only that. I mean, in truth, because so many people refuse to go out. We had people in my development in Florida who had their foods delivered, and when they brought it into the house, they would spray it with some kind of a, you know, antiseptic spray, and they never left their house.
Yeah.
And I did the Zooms that I did, and I did probably 50, 60 of them while I was still in Florida, because so many live, you know, programs got canceled. And I did it as a mitzvah, not because it was in any way enjoyable for me, because truly it was not, but I saw that as a good deed, a way to help some people who weren't getting out, many of whom live alone. You know, as you get older, I'm 78 already, and I lost my husband 3 years ago. Most people are alone. More people are alone, unfortunately, in their 80s and 90s than are in partnerships. And those people have nothing going on in their homes, and if nobody can come to them and they can't go to anybody else, what do they have? So I did the Zooms, honestly, to do a good deed. I am sure I'm going to get into heaven just on the basis of doing Zooms, which I did not enjoy.
Well, hey, listen, you're putting smiles on people's faces at a time when they need it the most. Do you actually joke about the pandemic itself?
Oh, I certainly do. And I have to tell you, I got a brand new one. One that I loved as one of my favorite ones before this was romance novels written during COVID-19 will be like... And then she slowly slipped her mask down, revealing her warm red lips and her blushed face. And as their eyes met, he gently removed her gloves. I thought that was one of the funniest beginnings that I had ever read in my life, until I got one last week. And this one was a definition. And I hope that all of your friends listening to your show will be able to handle this, even though it sounds a little bit sexy. It really isn't. It's the definition of an airgasm, A-I-R-G-A-S-M, the intense pleasure of leaving a public place and taking off your mask.
Ain't that the truth, Joyce? Ain't
oh,
that
yes,
the truth?
It certainly is. Absolutely.
Are there subjects that that you stay away from? Are there subjects that get instant response, a favorable instant response from that is your surefire material that when you are performing?
Well, I try not to do anything that is going to be in any way ethnically offensive to people or, racially offensive. I mean, I try to stay away from those kinds of topics. And truthfully, I do not make any jokes about Biden or Trump or any other political stuff because, truthfully, I don't find politics all that funny, unfortunately. But there are some things that are just so hilarious. For example, there was one good one that said, we can have gatherings of up to 10 people without issues. But I don't even know 10 people without issues. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah,
okay,
especially
here's
nowadays.
Another one. I'm at a place in my life where errands are starting to count as going out on a date. Okay? Here are a few other good ones. Dear life, when I asked if my day could get any worse, it was a rhetorical question, not a challenge. So clever. So just the fact that people could come up with such funny, clever things at a time that most of us were hurting. And we were hurting because we couldn't get together for holiday events. I mean, Thanksgiving every year I've been at my son's house with my son and daughter-in-law and grandkids and my daughter and her husband. And I have loved Thanksgiving. I have loved Passover celebrations. I've loved Christmas gatherings with friends. And none of them were held. No. And there is something really wrong when you look at your milestone events, the things that matter most, when you can get together with the people who matter most to you in your life. There is something wrong if those had to be curtailed.
You know, boy, you hit the nail right on the head. Where do you get your inspiration from? Where does your material derive?
Well, real life.
Yeah, you're an observer of real life.
Funny stuff, not only about COVID, but funny stuff happens every day. You just have to have your eyes open. And I think the people who say that humor exists 24/7 are really on the right track. The humor is out there. The problem is, what are you weeding out? I read one quote. I'm putting together a whole bunch of talks about aging because a lot of the developments that I speak in, obviously, are senior developments, and there are a lot of people interested in aging. But there was one that really appealed to me, and this is by Leonard Lewis Levinson. I have no idea who he is, but this quote was in a book that I loved, and it said, "A pessimist sees only the dark side of the clouds and mopes. A philosopher sees both sides and shrugs. An optimist doesn't see the clouds at all. He's walking on them."
Oh, poignant.
And I think if we can only recognize that we need to hang out with people who are more up. In my laughter talk, the one that I first started giving in 1983, my best piece of advice as far as I'm concerned, I wrote back in 1983, which was, what you can do to have more laughter in your life is avoid energy suckers. And if their energy suckers were hiding before because they had so much to do and so many activities to attend, they have all come out in the last 18 months during the pandemic. The energy suckers just have no end to telling you their pains and their boredom and their misery. And it's unbelievable. If people just wrote books about the miserable things people have said
right.
to them, we would have volumes and volumes.
I believe you. Folks, you are listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions radio show, along with Chief Executive Officer from Chamber Insurance Trust, Steve Glick. I am Gary Byron. Our guest this morning I call her a comedian, but she won't call herself that. She's been a professor over at Southern Connecticut State University since 1975. with a specialty in special education, but it's her unique way of connecting with her students or anyone else that she has the pleasure of performing in front of, Joyce Saltman. Joyce, you reference a lot of words from excellent writers. You yourself are pretty darn good. I'd put you in that category.
Thank you, dear.
Who are some of your favorites? And you already mentioned that you've already gone over a few quotes that that resonated with you. What are some others?
Well, I mean, some other quotes. I mean, I've got quotes of the yin yang, but I especially, this new group, I just wrote a new talk that I gave to the Connecticut Education Association retirees last week at the AquaTurf. Mm-hmm. And I just had the most loving, appreciative audience, and 25%, I would guess, when they raised their hands, were students of mine in the last 40 years at Southern, which is just so fabulous to hear students telling me they're still using my techniques, even as substitute teachers, because many of them obviously have retired, as have I. But I just, the new talk is called a joyous look at being chronologically endowed. And it's just really, so I've been trying now to get some more wonderful, you know, quotes for optimists. This one kind of appealed to me. I got this yesterday. The optimist is the kind of person who believes a housefly is looking for a way out.
Right.
So cute. I mean, you know, and as you look around, you see the flies in your house. Don't you wonder, where are they going with their
right.
family?
And they're always by the door. It's like they're trying to get out, but why'd you fly in here in the first place? When you look at other performers, whether they're comedians or comics or they're maybe just funny individuals that don't perform stand-up, who are they? Who do you sit and watch and say, wow, they're an outstanding performer? Do you emulate any of their performances, or who do you look up to in that arena?
Well, my favorite comedian really was Buddy Hackett for a long time, and of course Mel Brooks. Mm-hmm. And Carl Reiner. I felt so sad for Mel Brooks when Carl died last year. Yeah. Because they had dinner together every night. And it's just wonderful to see, you know, marvelous friendships. But I think it is wonderful to see anybody with a sense of humor, and it doesn't need to be a professional. I just went live to see Dimitri Martin 2 weeks ago with some friends, and he was terrific. And his opening act was equally terrific, and he's a 37-year-old guy who just was really clever. And he made one line that I wrote down in the dark. I had to write it down in the dark because it was pitch dark in the theater. And his quote was that when you get to a certain age, napping is the new sex. And I just got hysterical thinking about that. I mean, just what a cute way of looking at something that used to be that was the most exciting thing to people. But at a certain age, people are more excited to be able to take a nap. It's just really how you look at what is going on around you in real life. I don't think people need to worry about professional comedians. Mostly we have friends who are probably pretty funny on their own. I have a daughter who does not think of herself as funny, does not like jokes, is not particularly fond of comedians. She happens to be a New York attorney, very bright, size too petite. She has everything. She's a beautiful kid. Incredible. Just an incredible kid. And she said when my boyfriend got sick, she said, oh, well, don't worry. Just drop him off at the hospital and tell him he can just text you if he needs something. Now, that is a great joke because I do not text. I do not ever keep my cell phone on. I have never texted. I don't want to text. So that was a perfect joke. He should just text me if he needs anything.
Oh, Joyce, you're more than a breath of fresh air. You're needed. You are needed, and right now more than any other time. And it's so sad that you don't even call yourself a comedian. I think I'd pay to go see you perform, especially now more than ever. People need the laughter. I think the worst times get around us. In our environment, you know, in our just in life, the more I think we are drawn to laughter. We need right. it. It's therapeutic.
That's why we have to stay away from the energy suckers. Surround yourself with positive people. That is the best thing that you can do for yourself and for everyone who loves you, because it will pick you up and it will enable you to pass on some of that sunshine to the people that you meet.
I couldn't agree more. Let's bring Steve Glick back into the fold here. Steve, I am so delighted that you chose to have Joyce Saltman with us this morning.
I know she would be, you know, a fresh air, bring fresh air to the, to our world. I respect Joyce for the years I know her. And I was even surprised when I was down in Florida. There she was, giving a nice little lecture.
How far back does your relationship go, and how does she relate to chamber insurance?
Well, you know, in social world or the communities that we lived in and things like that. But she was always a leader. She's always been involved in things, and we were too, and that's how we met.
Very nice. I could understand why you're instantly drawn. And it's funny that because you found her in Florida.
Well, no, I knew her from here, but surprised to see her
in
Florida.
Yeah, incredible. How do you think businesses can incorporate humor into maybe building morale with their employees or putting on a performance in around the holiday season with dinner, just to boost the morale and show appreciation to their employees? Does that make any sense? Or
total sense, especially in this environment that we're facing. Yeah. But to allow a person to have the mechanism of smiling and laughing and kidding with other people and touching them and everything else, what a great thing. Yeah. What attribute that the human body and human being has to be able to have the ability to laugh.
It is so needed, and the timing of Joyce as a guest today is spot on. It's so needed more now than ever. I think so many people are uptight, and like she says, you can't waste your time surrounding people who suck the life out of you. I want to thank our guest, Joyce Saltman. Please feel free to go on Google or DuckDuckGo her name. You can email her. Joyce, how do you email you? What's your email address?
My email address is KOPISALT, Copysalt, at AOL.com. And just for the record, I love to do any kind of orientations or holiday gatherings, and they make out the check directly to a charity.
Wonderful.
I do not take any of my money I have given.
Copysalt at AOL.com. I'm running out of time, Joyce. I'm so sorry. I want to thank you for your time. And also, Steve Glick, he's easy to contact at www.citrust.com. And you can call him toll-free at 800-953-4467. Once again, Chamber Insurance Trust, 800-953-4467. For Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show. Until next time, everybody, have a good one, everybody. So long.